This is where we live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. So many parts of Connecticut have rich industrial histories, like New Britain, known as the Hardware City. Coming up, we'll meet a local artist who pays homage to the past through his mixed-media paintings and sculptures on view now at the New Britain Museum of American Art. We'll introduce you to artist Paul Baylock. That's just ahead. But first,
I grew up in Connecticut. When I say that, they say, when I said, small state west of Rhode Island, Mass to the north, and New York is beside it. A place where there's country roads. Here we pick apples in the fall. Believe it or not, we got four seasons. Snow in the spring for no good reason. I was just a kid, reminiscing about the little things I did. How I used to ride the horse at the carousel over at Bushnell Park. Watch the greatest show on earth at the Civic Center. Before it was the XL, G-Fox was down the street. I remember Siege Allen, and now it's Capital Community. You can love it or leave it, but it's a state that I believe in. I'm proud to say that I'm Connecticut born and Connecticut raised. Hey, you can love it or leave it, but it's a state that I believe in. I'm proud to say that I'm Connecticut born and Connecticut raised.
That catchy song is called Connecticut Anthem by professional singer Nikita Waller. She's a Connecticut native. She lives in Middletown, and on August 1st, she became the state's 17th troubadour. Nikita is here to tell us about her and, of course, sing on Where We Live. Nikita, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Woo!
It's hard for me to not move while I'm listening to that song. It's so catchy, and it captures a lot of sentiment for those of us who live and love living in this state, including you.
Yes, it does. It takes me back to my childhood. My parents, I wrote that based off of my upbringing and how they used to entertain me when I was a little toddler. So we hung out at Bushnell Park in Hartford. There was the Barnum Bailey Circus. And I remember going to Sage Allen and G-Fox, just looking around and window shopping and looking at those things. And it is actually Capital Community College over there. So these are real life things that I actually see evolve, and I've been here long enough to express that.
I mentioned that you became state troubadour August 1st. Congratulations.
Ooh, thank you.
I'm not from Connecticut. I grew up in Pennsylvania, but since living here for 11 years now, I've heard through the years that there is a role, an honorary role of the troubadour. Tell us what that means for you to be named in this position.
So being the 17th Connecticut State Troubadour, it gives me a platform where I can express myself through music, for as much as I love the music and the arts, to go out. And my platform, what I would like to do is try to reach out to children who are like myself and others, to let them know that you too can take a gamble, and as long as you keep trying, doors may close, but that one door will open, and it will change your life and other people's too. So that's what I'm going for. And just trying to sing as much and make people feel good through this feel good music that I do sing.
When did you first hear about this position as troubadour, and what made you apply?
We heard about it in about January, myself, Jess. And we said, you never know what may come of it. I thought it was exciting. I had the Connecticut song already in my head. I knew that there were songs that you needed to create a song. I knew that I was a Connecticut native. I just didn't think that I would even get the chance, because I knew that it was folk music. And I'm like, I don't know if they would do it, you know. And, you know, she definitely, I got to say, Jessica Hill definitely pushed the envelope and was like, you got to try to write your story. Some other people need to hear about it. And so she and my mom pushed the envelope. And then I said, okay, well, go ahead and try to do it. And I wrote about it. And whoa, that's all I can say. This, between God's ears and the blessings, this fell upon me. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity. I'm still just walking on waves. Mm-hmm.
How would you describe your style? Are you a soul singer, R&B, pop, a mix of many different genres?
I would say that I'm definitely a mix. I would say I'm a soul singer. And I say that I'm a soul singer because I try to sing from my soul to connect to someone else's soul. That's kind of like where I go from. I try to make sure that the music that I sing is relatable. that it's a story that I can tell or just see through somebody else's eyes. So that I would just say a soul singer.
You mentioned many of the troubadours have been folk singers. So when you applied, did you think that it was going to be a long shot or this was the time to try something new for the state?
I thought it was going to be a long shot. I mean, it was just something different, something new. And it was new for me. And folk is great. I mean, they have a lot of story. They do a lot of storytelling. They play the guitar and they're very instrumental. And I just knew that I didn't know whether my voice would be strong enough to be there where they are. So, I mean, now I feel like we can do things together between the folk and the soul music and just create something on a whole different level. So I'm just so grateful to be a part of that. Hopefully the folk scene, because I got to tell you that Kate Callahan and Ms. Graves have really welcomed me with open arms, was saying, you know, hey, let's get on board, let's meet, let's talk. So I'm just grateful to be a part of that scene.
And Kate was the previous troubadour.
Yes, Ms. Kate was.
Tell us more about Connecticut Anthem. I mentioned that it's very catchy and it's a positive message. When did you first write it?
I would say maybe about 5 years ago. I kind of tweaked it, and it started coming back, actually reinventing itself because of my father's passing. He was going through his illness, and I said, you know what? What other way could I share this to the universe? And with my father passing, that was like the most thing that I could connect to with bringing his memory and keeping his memory alive. So I think that's kind of like what brought everything up to forefront.
Did he have a chance to hear you sing Connecticut
Anthem? He did. And he just chuckled and laughed because he was like, oh, we did do that, huh? So, yes, he did.
Tell us more about your upbringing, Nikita. I mentioned that you were born and raised in Connecticut. Is that right?
Right. My parents are from Alabama. I have Southern roots. So you'll always hear me say, yes, ma'am, miss, hey, y'all, how y'all doing? I usually greet people with big hugs and kisses, and sometimes I got to watch myself. But I'm just trying to bring that Southern stuff up to Connecticut, and I think it's happening. I'm definitely family-oriented. I have a big little brother. He's my little brother, but I call him Big because he's a little bit taller than me. And I have my nephew. He's about 6 years old. And then I have a strong foundation of sisterhood surrounded by me that keep me in line, because sometimes we definitely need women to straighten up crowns, because sometimes the crowns fall off. So I have that network that's supporting me as well, and I'm just grateful for all the women and then, you know, the other people also, the men that's out there too, that's helping me out too. So I'm grateful.
Tell me more, Nikita, about how your parents helped encourage you towards music. When did they first recognize that you had a passion for this? I understand you and your mom are very close. And do you remember some of those childhood memories?
My goodness. Some of those childhood memories. I would say going back to daycare center when I would come home or be in the daycare, I think I remade over a nursery rhyme called Peanut Butter and Jelly. So the kids would go and sing it, and my teacher was happy, and she'd come and tell my mom, your daughter's doing something different in class. So stuff like that. And then I remember auditioning in third grade for a play. I think it was for Black History. And my third grade teacher said, you need to go to the front. And my mother said, she do? And then I think at that time, she was like, okay, so now I'm going to take you on a whirlwind. Let's do some talent shows. Let's do some beauty pageants. So my mom, she had me in all kinds of little curly dresses and all kinds of little crazy things. I don't even want to get into being on that horse.
Do you remember the first album that you purchased? Who were you listening to as a child?
Okay, so one of the very first albums, I remember going to Strawberries in Bloomfield and Record Express. My mom used to take me there on a Friday, and we used to go pick out albums. But one of the albums I totally remember is going to the record store in Bloomfield and picking up Madonna album. It was a black, gray, white album, and she had this cool hair, and I think it was Borderline or Lucky Star, and I just was like getting my Madonna on, and I was like, this girl is cool. So I go home and try to play those records. So
I believe Madonna was my first album too. Uh-oh. When I was a kid, but it was True Blue.
Oh, okay. True Blue, baby, I love you. Okay, I remember that song.
In the studio with me is Nikita Waller. She's Connecticut's 17th state troubadour. This is an honorary position that the state bestows on musicians, ambassadors of music and culture. We're here learning about Nikita as she takes on this role. Has your phone been ringing off the hook?
Oh, man. Emails have been going like crazy. I'm trying to just stay on top of that stuff because it's important to just stay communicated and just, you know, just keep going. You got to keep pushing through. Timing is everything. That's what I'm learning. Follow up, follow up, follow up.
We're going to hear you sing in just a couple of minutes, but I did want to let our listeners know that your first stage debut was at the Apollo Theater.
It was.
Tell us about that. How did you get there?
The person that helped me get there was Alfonso McGriff. He had a teen talent show at Weaver High School in the 90s, and I was the youngest contestant at the time. And I won my first $1,000 in the 90s. That's a big number. Huge. I mean, they gave me this huge check. And my mom was getting ready to have my brother. So she was on the stage and she was just like, Eric was inside of her. And she just ran and was like, oh, my God, we won $1,000. And I think took my father was there. And from there, we took a bus to Apollo Theater. We actually had a group of us, probably like about 50 of us, went to Apollo Theater. And at that time, Steve Harvey was the host. He had actually a high top fade. Everything was so different in the 90s. Oh, my gosh. I had on this white dress, and I was a little skinny something. And my knees were knocking, and I just did not want to go out there because this is New York. So it's just a lot more fair. And I rubbed the log. And I think I tried to belt out Where Do Broken Hearts Go by Whitney Houston. And the crowd, I think they gave me a little love because I was a kid. It's good to be a kid to go to Apollo because they're going to give you that love even if you crack a little bit. But I went back a few times and placed maybe like second or third. But rather than that, it didn't go anywhere. I did get a recording of it. But it was a good time. It was a good time.
Many of us also remember listening to Whitney growing up. How has your style changed?
That was the one person that my mother made sure that I listened to a lot of Whitney Houston records. She's like, there's somebody that you need to try to mimic. You need to go from the Orange album, because Whitney had the Orange album where she didn't have any hair. That was like one of the best albums. And then you go back and you reminisce about like how Clive Davis found her. So she's like, this is what you need to do. My style has changed because I've gotten to be exposed to different other kinds of music. So between singing with different bands like Anthony Harrington, Jeff Pitchell, Kevin Berry, just being exposed to all that different music, learning blues and going to Hart School of Music and classical music, I've been able to evolve and bring all that music into what I do to the stage. And then being exposed to theater, oh my goodness. I think that layer too, I try to bring that acting element to my stage performance. So I think all of that has helped me.
Well, I don't want to tease our listeners anymore. You've kindly agreed to sing for us. I know it's early in the morning. I think the song is called Best Shot. Tell us a little bit about the song before you begin.
Best Shot was inspired by one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. Her name is Fiona Catherine. I met Fiona at a talent competition that I lost. What's so special about Fiona is because when I lost it, she cried out and screamed like, what are you guys doing? Ah! And when she did that, I kindly had to walk off the stage, and she was like, ah, and it was just her and her dad. And I said, Fiona, it's okay, you can't win them all. And she's like, but that's not fair. And I voted. And so we talked, and she showed me where she voted at and put her one vote in the cast of her ballot. And we talked, and she brought me back into a very humble place because that we just began a great sisterhood between her and myself. And that's how Best Shot, because from there on, or just helped me, like, wherever I go, I have to always give it my best shot because you never know who's actually listening to you.
Again, this is a Connecticut 17th State Troubadour, Nikita Waller, here on Where We Live. And we're going to hear her now singing Best Shot.
Have you ever been second-guessed, denied of a second chance? The wheels of the bus go round,
cause someone's trying to hold you down. How did this come to be? People just hating on me. I'm in a different place, cause I wanna go for mine this way. Said I would lose, I'm winning again. All I ever know is to give it all I got. Many shows and many empty rooms, many nights that I didn't get through. Where did I find the strength to keep it going all the way to the end? I met some good people along the way, and I know that I wanted to stay. Now everybody has a story. Fiona Catherine wants to know me. I'm winning again. Yeah. Give it all I got. They're counting me out. Yeah. It's to give it all I got. My time to shine. My season. This is the reason I could never give up. I took my best shot, I gave it all I got. Said I would lose, I'm winning, you're winning. All I ever know is to give it all you got. Give it all you got, you're winning again. Counting me out, I'm winning, ooh, oh, oh, oh. Give it all you got.
That's Nikita Waller singing her song, Best Shot, here on Where We Live. That's a beautiful song, Nikita.
Oh, thank you. That's 8. What time is that time? What time is that voice? 9:24 voices. Yikes.
We think you did a great job. I know I couldn't sing like that this early. I do want to take a caller now. Celestia is calling from Plainville. Celestia, go ahead.
Hi, Nikita. Hi, Lucy.
Good morning. Good morning, Miss Celeste.
I'm so glad that I was listening to the news and I heard Nikita Waller. I go, what? Oh, I've got a call. I have to congratulate her, tell you how proud I am of you.
Oh, thank you so much, Miss Celeste. Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm glad. I pray for you. I'm glad that you are successful. And are you happy?
Yes.
I'm retired. I'm happy.
Oh, yeah, you got a whole lot of happy. I'm working on that kind of happy.
Thank you for calling in. So you must be used to hearing from people throughout your upbringing in Connecticut that have seen your success as a professional singer, now as state troubadour. That must be a really positive feeling that it leaves you.
It does. It gives me good energy, and, you know, I try to keep the good vibes going and flowing. I try to make sure that wherever I leave my mark, that it's a good one.
Again, Nikita Waller is in studio with us here on Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. We're going to hear more about Nikita, the way she writes her songs, and what she hopes to accomplish in her 3-year term as our state troubadour. I just wanted to play a little bit of a recorded song as we go to break. This is Nikita singing Bring Your Heart.
Someone did ask me about my wanting need for love, so I told them I'll get to it. Cause a beat of love keeps playing in my ears. It's like an ocean of love. This beat of love just keeps on playing in my ears. This melody of love keeps flowing. Here's my bit of love you only get from me. To get more, you'll need to love. So bring your heart to it. Do everything you do with love. Bring your heart to it. Do everything you do.
This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalbathanchel. Did you know Connecticut has a statute that recognizes the importance of music and culture? Every couple of years, a musician is chosen to be the honorary state troubadour. And this year, Nikita Waller was chosen. She's in studio with me to talk about her new role. Nikita, we're getting a tweet from a listener, Mary, who is listening to Best Shot. Nikita Waller, thanks for making my morning fly with that Connecticut troubadour crown.
Oh, thank you. Ah.
We heard one of your original songs. Can you walk us through your songwriting process? How do you do it?
So I work with quite a wide variety of producers. We go back and forth, and they are kind enough to send me music tracks. So it's usually if I feel something or I'm like I'm connected to it, I try to get a feeling of what the song is trying to portray. So with that Best Shot song, I already knew in mind where it was actually going to lead me to. So it put me in that kind of spirit to talk about Fiona. So I'll write based off of the track, and then once I write the track, the melody comes. But usually I try to think of the subject first before I know what I'm writing about. And then the lyrics come and try to figure out what I'm going to write about.
Oh, I mentioned that the troubadour is an ambassador for music, and you're going to travel around the state and meet and especially sing for our residents, including children. But how would you characterize the music and art scene in Connecticut? So often people are critical because we're in between Boston and New York, and we're not in L.A., and I'm just curious what your thoughts are.
Our art scene is pretty hip. I think we are growing. I know that the theater is definitely growing. I love that you can go to New Haven, to Long Wharf to go see a play, or Seven Angels in Waterbury, or even to the Opera House in Broadbrook, or Thomason House. So we have those theaters that are keeping theater alive. And then as far as like the music, I think we have places like Real Art Waves, that keep, you can go there for music. And then thank goodness we have little places downtown too. You know, you have the places like the Russell where you can go and listen to live music too. So I think we're definitely coming into our own. If you want to start something, you actually can.
Do you get tired of all the hating on Connecticut?
It definitely happens. I mean, I think you got to just try to break through it. If you go south, you're going to get the same type, So it really depends on who you are as an artist and what you draw. What people draw from you. Being from Connecticut it can be kind of tough because we're not mainstream. So I think you got to find a way to actually become mainstream. And I think that's happening because now you have someone like myself that's connected with folk music, and doing those things together is going to take it to a whole nother wave.
What did it mean for you to be the first African-American solo artist named to become state troubadour?
Oh, it's heavy. It's definitely heavy. Change is definitely coming, and it has with my face being a part of this. I know that the world is in a different place right now, and with things like this or events like the Connecticut State Troubadour happening, it gives people a little ray of hope that if we keep pushing for change, change does actually happen.
Positive sentiment is highlighted in that Connecticut anthem that you wrote. The line, you can love it or leave it, but it's a state I believe in.
Oh,
why,
yes.
Why did you stay here?
I have a lot of family here. So my parents raised me here. I know that it's a good family-oriented place. You can still win. You can get an education. You can get a college degree, and you can make it. But you can also not have a degree and still find a trade and still become successful. So I think Connecticut is big on that and giving everyone opportunities where we can succeed if you network and you put yourself in front of the right people. But you have to be a go-getter. So I think that's what makes me stay.
Nikita Waller is here with us in studio here on Where We Live today. She's a 17-state troubadour, and she just began her, I think, is it a 3-year term?
It is a 3-year term. Yikes.
So she began it on August 1st, and that's why we're listening to Nikita and hearing a little bit of her story today. Tina's actually calling from Hartford. Tina, go ahead.
Nikita, good morning. It's Tina Pasola. I just wanted to say how good it is to hear your voice. And best congratulations, sweetheart. Take good care.
Oh, love you to pieces, Miss Tina.
Take good care. Have a happy hot, honey.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, that's one of my mentors from University of Hartford. So she kind of watched me grow into this woman with singing in my academics. So definitely love her. Got to keep her on the team.
It's interesting that you mentioned mentors. Obviously, your parents played a big role in your upbringing and shaped who you are. But walk us through a little bit more about how you were encouraged as a young person or how you think other children should be encouraged. What are some ways that parents and educators can really bring forth a child's passion when you know they first start to show some interest?
I think one of the things that my parents, both my parents, did, they kept me active. I couldn't be chasing boys. I gotta tell you, they kept me around a lot of music, and they kept me entertained with being in gospel choirs, finding acting workshops, just running around with family and doing, making new dramas with my little cousins, and then coming out performing dance routines at the end of the night with everybody. So I think one way of keeping kids active and engaged is finding them mentors, like finding other workshops or getting help after school, or, you know, being able to go to the programs like the Hart School of Music and seeing if there's someone else that do what your kid loves to do, and then getting that extra help so they can embrace it and love it and it become bigger so they can be the best that they can be.
As State Troubadour, how will you engage with Connecticut's young people?
What I would like to do is go into some of the classrooms, and I would love to hear some of the songs that they are inspired to write. One of the ways that I would like to see what their songwriting is, bringing some of the music that they listen to today on the radio and having them rewrite it from their point of view. That way, they'll be able to communicate with each other. So you may have someone that want to write about, I don't know, a Big Brother through possibly a Bruno Mars song. But then you may have someone that knows a Justin Timberlake song, and taking those different kind of worlds or those different kind of sounds and seeing what those little babies write to it. So I think that's kind of one way that I'm thinking about going forward and bringing change.
You've been singing professionally for more than a decade now?
Yes, for a very long time.
When you think about all the times that you're traveling around and, you know, the onus is on you to book and have good relationships with different venues, what could the state of Connecticut do better to help aspiring artists?
This platform, they've already begun to do that. I think they are pushing for change. They're allowing us all to work together. To do anything better, I think they're providing opportunities with the Connecticut Office of Arts, with Ms. Bonnie. What she's doing is bringing the arts together from different platforms. I would say more workshops, and I think Yup Network is doing that. So I think we pretty much are in the right lane of moving forward with the arts. I think we're doing what we can do, pushing through.
There's been a long line of other state troubadours. Explain, you mentioned one of them, Kate Callahan, but describe, have you been talking with more of them? And is it kind of like a close-knit family? Are they offering you advice on the next 3 years?
Some of them have emailed me, and I think that eventually we're going to get to the table, and I think we're going to break bread and figure out what we want to do collectively. And I'm just grateful that they even thought enough well about me to even say, hey, we're proud of you. You're part of us, you know, because they didn't have to do that. But they actually did. So I'm just grateful that they all pretty much have been welcoming me with open arms.
Nikita Waller again is here on Where We Live, the new state troubadour, just appointed to the position August 1st for a 3-year term. What do you do when you're not singing?
When I'm not singing, I'm hanging out with my nephew, Caden. He is the light. He is the glue of our family. And I'm spending time with him, with teaching him how to do his math. He's telling me to count 1 to 100. So we're doing things like that. So and I love to cook. I'm a foodie. Any of my friends can call me and say, where can I get the cheese, the best cheese? Or I know where to get the gooey. So if you want to call me and you want to FB me, I can lead you to the gooey.
You also have been doing theater. Tell us about that.
Theater has definitely changed and reshaped my life. I was able to play Motormouth Mabel at the Thomason Opera House. That was my very first time at being a supporting lead role. And then most recently, I became Dolores Van Cottier, which is Sister Act out in Broadbrook, Connecticut, under the direction of a director named Miss Cheryl. So, oh man, acting is a whole nother beast. So when you do that, you kind of got to pick and choose which one you do. It's a lot of memorization, a lot of discipline, a lot of focus, a lot of obedience. They had to tell me a few times, Nikita, don't break the stage, because they know that I'm the type of person that if a lot of people catch me, I'll fall. So I'll do the fallback thing, you know, when you put your hands in the air and fall back. And in theater, you can't do that. You kind of got to stay on the stage. So I like theater. So we're trying to figure out where I fall into place with that.
You mentioned earlier that your father passed away in March, and we're sorry again to hear of his passing. I'm curious how music helps you personally, whether it's through the grieving process, whether it's through your everyday and setting goals. I mean, I'm just curious if you could talk more about that.
It definitely helps me every day. I know with the grieving process, it does, because there are certain songs that remind me of him. So I know he loved Aretha Franklin. So whenever I sing songs like Chain of Fools, he would be the type of person that would get on the dance floor and start dancing and say, that's my baby right there. Come on, dance with me. So he was definitely helpful in helping me sing more Aretha tunes. Mm. And then with just every day, there's certain songs that I need to listen to, whether it's a gospel song, So Amazing by Ricky Dillard. You know, there's songs that help me kick off my day. It might be a Taylor Swift song like Shake It Off, because sometimes I need to shake things off. And then I'm in the car talking to myself, shake it off. Do you sing in the car, Lucy? Do you sing in the car? You won't tell me about it.
I do sometimes.
You do? Are you by yourself or are you singing with the baby?
I'm definitely by myself.
Okay. I'm just curious if I'm alone with doing that.
I don't want to, so you mentioned Miss Aretha. We're going to hear you sing a cover of one of her amazing songs, Natural Woman. When you hear about these icons and what they have contributed to our lives, I mean, what does that mean to you when you sing a song like that?
You hope to live as long as people like Aretha did to make the changes that they made in everyone's life. You have a singer that has sang during civil rights. You have someone that sang for everyone. The Kennedy Awards, I mean, it gives you chills. And you don't want to see them leave.
We're going to link to your website so our listeners can make sure they can look up where you'll be performing. But I really want to say it's been a pleasure to speak with you, Nikita, to hear you sing. It's obvious that you have a great talent and a big heart. You can tell that when we hear you speak. And I think we're going to go out with, again, we're going to hear you sing Natural Woman. Are you ready?
I think so. Looking out of the morning rain, I used to feel so tired. And when I knew I had to face another day, oh, it made me feel uninspired. Before the day I met you, life was so unkind, but you're the key to my peace of mind. 'Cause you make me feel, you make me feel, you make me feel like a natural woman. When my soul was in the lost and found, you came along and you claimed it. Oh.
what was wrong with me. To your kids, help me name it. Now I'm no longer doubtful, know what I'm living for. And if I make you happy, I don't need to do no more. Cause you make me feel, cause you make me feel, cause you make me feel like a natural woman. Just wanna be close to you, cause I feel so alive. You make me feel, you make me feel, you make me feel like a natural woman.
Nikita Waller, Connecticut's 17th state troubadour. This is where we live.
Hey, I want to talk to you about a little state on the East Coast. Some of us call it the Nutmeg State. Listen.
I grew up in Connecticut.
This is where we live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. So many parts of Connecticut have rich industrial histories, like New Britain, known as the Hardware City. Paul Balock is a local artist who pays homage to the past through his mixed-media paintings and sculptures on view now at the New Britain Museum of American Art. Paul is here with us now to tell us about his work. Paul, welcome to Where We Live.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me.
I understand that you were born and raised in New Britain. Tell us about your upbringing.
Yeah, I was actually born in Hartford, but then immediately we moved to New Britain, and I'm from a family of 10, and I was the second born, and mom was Irish American, dad was Lithuanian American, and I had a really nice pre-social media growing up, doing a lot of hiking around the area, and spending a lot of time downtown, going to the many theaters that we used to have. And
what did New Britain look like back in the 50s and 60s? I mentioned there was a lot more industry then.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm from the east side, which was more of the kind of, I think, the grittier side of town. And we had factories everywhere. They were like actually shoulder height, the windows. You could look in and see the people working. And that's where you could look in, because some of the windows had that film on it to keep out the sun and some of the glare. And that kind of inspired me for some of my pieces that are in the show right now. Yeah, it was just great. There was lots of stores. There was a Woolworth. There was a Jupiter. Skating, almost free skating on Arch Street, roller skating. And it just had a great time. A lot of music and stuff going on.
Your father worked in the factory?
Yes, he was a white-collar worker, and he worked there for quite a number of years before he became a teacher. And he used to bring me home blueprints that they didn't use anymore, and I used to draw on the back of those. He was also kind of a do-it-yourselfer. He called himself a jack-of-all-trades. And he used to also cut up like 2x4s and stuff and make sandboxes for us and make bicycles for us from scavenged parts. So mom was doing her part and dad was doing his part.
So would you say that he inspired some of the art that you're doing today and the way he tinkered? And
yes, and I do recall when I was very young, probably kind of kindergarten, I remember him drawing a tractor for me. Like the treads and the wheels on the tractor. And to this day, I still remember that.
You mentioned that you were a teacher, so you just retired recently?
In 2012, I did 38.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I did 38 years teaching art in New Britain, mm-hmm. and the last 25 were at the New Britain High School. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those students, those alumni, are also artists. A lot of them are my Facebook friends, and I'm keeping track of their accomplishments, and I'm very proud of them. So it was a really, really good gig.
I mentioned that your work is now on view at the New Britain Museum of American Art. You are president of the Art League of New Britain. So talk about the collaboration between you and this museum.
Oh, I think it feeds, everything feeds off everything. And there's this, they were great to work with, Min Jung Kim, the new director. Right away when I met her, when she first came here, approached me about how she could help, how she, with New Britain, how she could be, have the museum become part of, you know, the growth of New Britain. And I think my exhibit is a result of that. I think the thing that brought on the catalyst that brought the exhibit on was the demolition of the Stanley Works landmark recently. And so that the whole question of New Britain's past came back to the forefront. And as far as the Art League is concerned, we're kind of like a related because we both had the same early director, Sanford B. Lowe. I just feed off the great artists that come out of the Art League and just their inspiration, and I participate in shows there as well.
So because we're on radio, if you could explain to our listeners some of the works that they'll see when they see this exhibition, and again, how you bring up New Britain's past in the works you're doing today.
Okay, I don't have to sing it, do I? Okay. well, you'll see a variety of works that go back from 2008. They are acrylic on plywood for the most part. They are usually sanded. There's stencils. You'll see stencils from computer images like meat grinders, which are made in New Britain, electric stove coils. You'll see a hand in there with a little finger missing, which is my hand from a little injury that I had back in 93 on a table saw. So I kind of felt it was symbolic. Mm-hmm. A lot of colors that kind of contrast with the sanded, distressed look of some of the images.
So people will see old images and then these bright colors. Is that representative of old New Britain and new New Britain?
Well, you know, it could be. I'm glad you're reading that into it. Like many artists, we don't like to just say that that was the original intent, that, you know, you can find your own message. Yep. Really, it was a more of a formal consideration where the bright colors would contrast with the distressed parts of the painting. And that's very important for artists to have contrast in a picture. Or in a painting. I also want to bring up the exhibit. You'll also see some scavenged factory windows from an old factory I used to have a studio in that when they were changing the windows, I grabbed a bunch of them and converted them into sculptures that contain laser-cut images from the city and from my repertoire of forms.
Would you say that New Britain is a good place for creative minds? Are you seeing the arts fostered well today?
Yes, I do. I find that there's a lot of artists, a lot of young artists. We have a lot of venues for art to be shown. The Stockman Gallery, the Gallery 66, the Mayor's Art in the City, and of course the Art League. And now, of course, the Art Museum, New Britain Museum of American Art, showing a local artist. It's wonderful.
Have you seen a former student at your exhibition?
Yes, yes. You mean coming to the show?
Yes.
Well, there is four students came by, and they gave testimony to what a great art teacher I was.
Well, that's good to hear.
Right. I'm getting a lot of good vibes from the staff that people are coming in, and especially children who are there for the summer program are really reacting to all the work. Mm. So it makes me very happy.
We just have under a minute left, Paul, but what do you hope people will take away? Obviously, everyone has their own interpretation, but what would you like them? What message would you like them to take away when they see your artwork?
Besides the fact that I'm a great artist, that New Britain's a cool place, or was, what had a glorious past and is still on its feet, still kicking, still hard-hitting.
Paul Baylock, again, is an artist. His exhibition is on view at the New Britain Museum of American Art through October 21st. We have more information on our website, wmpr.org/where we live. Paul, it's a pleasure to speak with you, and thank you so much for talking about New Britain.
Pleasure's all mine. Thank you.
Today's show produced by senior producer Lydia Brown. Special thanks to Katie Tolarski, Carmen Baskoff, Kyone Wolf, and we appreciate you, the listener. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. Again, thanks for listening.